There is a scene early on in our gospel's passage this morning that might seem familiar to some of us. Once again, Jesus is on the move, on the way, as it were. And this time, he and his disciples are leaving Jericho. And once again, Jesus has problems with crowd control. This should not come as a shock. After all, he is attracting quite a following with the feedings and the healings and the teaching. And as they're leaving Jericho, somehow, it could have been some conversation that reverberated through the gathered about who really was going to sit at Jesus' right hand in glory. But somehow, the word that it was Jesus of Nazareth, this itinerant healer and teacher, walking past, somehow this reached the ears of a blind man named Bartimaeus, sitting by the side of the road, begging for his existence. And despite his blindness, Bartimaeus sees clearly who is in front of him and begins to cry out, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And now, friends, this is where the familiar might be creeping in. Because the response that the crowd gives is not bounded to the first century in any way. It is the response of a crowd of people everywhere who have little time or patience for that strange person yelling from the fringe. It is us. And we tell him to shut it. Keep quiet. Can't you see that we're doing something important here? And while I'd love to believe that this wouldn't be my response, I know all too well that it just might be. Now, I guarantee you that this beggar, this Bartimaeus, has been sitting there in this ditch for years, waiting, getting by on the scraps that are slipped to him. So do you think for a moment that he is going to let this Jesus by without some contact? Not a chance. And I'm guessing that his cries weren't along the lines of, "Son of David, have mercy on me." They were probably more like, "Son of David, have mercy on me." They must have been powerful or plaintive enough to reach Jesus, because at this point, the scene stops. Apparently, quite literally, the text says, Jesus stood still. Was he listening? Was he gathering? What would the response of the Christ be? Over the past few weeks, our preaching has responded to the gospel, the good news, as it is written in Mark, and as it is seen in the transformation of lives here at All Souls Parish. A couple of weeks ago, in response to Jesus' incredible command to the rich man, Betsy Dixon and the Reverend Kristen Krantz preached about our concurrent gift and responsibility with the youth of this parish, and that it may be necessary to be shocked by what Jesus calls us to. And last week, in response to the argument that Jesus' disciples were having over who was to have the glory, Peter Hansen and the Reverend Don Brown preached about what true greatness is, which is to serve one another, to care for each other pastorally throughout life. So this week, to respond to our story of this blind beggar gaining his sight, I would like to invite Steve Sims forward to share some of his story of life at All Souls.
Hello, I'm Steve Sims. I've been asked to share a few thoughts about stewardship and my All Souls experience, particularly around participating in small groups. Small groups have been a highlight of my Christian experience. At All Souls, I've had the privilege to be a member of a number of them. One hears terms like high church, low church, broad church. My experience of small groups is that they offer deep church. Because when they work, they offer safe and friendly places to explore God's realm with others. In small groups, listening to members talk about the scriptures and talk about God working in their lives, I've come to understand much better how God works in my life and what God's realm is like. I've gotten a better understanding of Christ's care and direction. My 9 years at All Souls have included some of the best times and the worst times of my life. Several years ago, my first marriage failed and died, which was a profound setback that I never imagined I would experience. Then a few years ago, I met someone in a small group and got to know her and fell in love. And this June, Liz and I were married here. This has been the happiest time of my life. The All Souls community has been there for me and has supported me through both times. During the difficult times, I was hurting and confused. Often I had little or no hope for the future. And it's no exaggeration to say that almost all of the support I had during those times came from the church and from this community in particular. Individual friends in my small group gave me encouragement and comfort and counsel and acceptance. Friends listened to me. Sometimes on and on and on, they listened to me. During hard times when I felt blind, I couldn't see, things were dark, but there were glimmers of light that came from God that brought me through those times. And many of those glimmers of light came through this community. So I say thank you, All Souls. And thanks be to God that now I'm on a path toward healing and wholeness. When Phil asked me to speak today, I thought, well, what does this experience have to do with stewardship? And upon reflection, I would say this. Christian community in the form of small groups or otherwise arises from the church, which is our community gathered around the living Christ. All Souls offers many kinds of small groups. There's house groups, youth groups, young adults, worship groups like the Angel Band and the choir, and the contemplative worship group. The vestry is a small group. I believe these groups are key to the church's work of supporting hurting people and to the core work of developing us all as imitators of Jesus. Money is not the church's core work. And the less time we have to spend concerned about it, the more time we have to spend on what is important. So I hope you will join me this week in praying that great generosity happens here and that our vestry and staff are open to God's leading to make the most of it. Thank you.
What Steve experienced through these small groups is consistent with a multitude of our accounts of healing and shares more than we might initially be aware of with that of Bartimaeus. To return to a theme that one of our seminarians, Brian Rebholz, explored several weeks ago, this need not be about simply physical healing. What if this yearning for healing were also applied to those places in ourselves, that are in desperate need of being integrated into the whole. The places in ourselves that are in pain or neglect. Those places shrouded in darkness that seem to cut us off from the rest of life. To use our texts of today, that of Bartimaeus and of Steve, both knew of that pain. Both had been driven to places of isolation in their lives, and hope was not easily seen. Ever been there? And yet both, despite their blindness, were able to see in Jesus a glimmer of the light. And even though it made them vulnerable, both were able to throw off their cloak and seek the healing that they longed for. And both distill a question for us today. Because in the stories that we've heard from Mark's gospel over the past several months, from the woman with the interminable flow of blood, to the conflicted rich man, to Bartimaeus, to Steve's story today, all of these stories force this question. What do we seek in Jesus? Why do we come week after week searching for him in the Word, yearning for him in the bread and the cup? What is it that we seek? Simply put, friends, it is a desire to be made well. And that is what Jesus, what the body of Christ, what a genuine Christian community, what a deep church offers. In this gospel, the phrase being made well comes from the Greek word sozo, which can also mean to be made whole. And folks, isn't that why we all come here to this church? It's not to hunt for parking. It's not to spend time indoors in the midst of some of the most gorgeous weather this side of the Mediterranean. It is because this healing was found here by Steve and by others. And this healing can be found here by all who wish to seek it. Some in this world may be too proud to admit it, but I believe that we all long for this sozo, this sense of wholeness, this feeling of connection that is all too absent from our 21st century lives. We yearn for this wholeness and we look for it in myriad places, don't we? For some, the search is in food, others in drink, some in work, others in sports. And though watching a five lateral touchdown run into the Stanford band can bring fleeting joy and a sense of communal bliss, that doesn't make us well. Because frankly, real community is a gift from God, one that allows us to shed our fears of others' perceptions and to simply be ourselves, warts and all. And if blind Bartimaeus is calling us to anything, it's that there is a place to find this radical reality that heals us, that makes us whole, and it can be here if we allow ourselves to come forward and allow this body to help us to see. I began this sermon wondering what the response of the Christ would be to the blind man begging to see again. And now I wonder what our response as the body of Christ will be. Because we share a common responsibility not to silence those who cry out, but to help them to see that all of us may be made well, may be made whole. There are people in this church this morning who cry out. There are many, many more outside of this church who cry out. And one of the fundamental purposes for which this community of all souls exists is that we, you and me, this parish, this city, all of creation, that we may be reconciled, be made well, and in our being made well, offer this wholeness to all who come through these doors and to those who remain outside of them. Friends, this must be done with all that we have. And yes, this must be said that some of our response will be with our money. You might have heard me say this before, that our checkbooks or our Quicken reports are some of the most straightforward theological statements that we make without ever saying a word. And so this is one of those times when it is our opportunity to respond, to take our part for those who are waiting to throw off their cloaks and be made well. As we look at our pledges again this year, praying, listening, discerning, be mindful of the tender gifts of our youth. Be mindful of those in need of someone to walk with them. Be mindful of those in need of this body to make them whole. May our response be generous, and may our faith make us well.